You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast episode number 0. Again. This episode, Green Lantern Corecast Rebirth.
To the Green Lantern Corps podcast. I am your host, Frank Mateo. Joining me today is my esteemed colleagues in all things Green Lantern, Brandon West. How are you doing, Brandon?
I'm amazing.
Eric Cahill, how are you?
I'm doing better than Brandon, that son of a bitch.
Carlton, you're here.
I'm a champion!
And Nime, hey, ready.
Did you guys know that in Japan they have placenta soda?
I actually did know that, you know, and you've actually told me that many, many times.
We've had an entire discussion about placenta.
I think we just found out what Nime does for a living, which is sell placenta soda.
Absolutely, and you can get a placenta 10,000 from me for the low, low price of $9.99 for one can.
I hear it's really good for your skin tone.
In the vending machine right next to the vending machine.
So if anyone's wondering, we just came back from a little piece of Oblivion in the outskirts of space, and finally made our way back to Earth to, like, you know, bring back some news on the Green Lantern front, such as this new rebirth that's apparently happening. And Brandon, you have some names that we need to know.
Yeah, all the good talent was taken by all the Justice League and Batman books, as usual.
Surprise.
So right now, who's on Justice League? So, you know, we have two new members of the Green Lantern Corps on that book now.
Justice League is being written by Brian Hitch, who's doing Justice League of America right now. And then he's got Tony Daniel and Fernando Passer, who used to do Green Lantern.
Core.
Was it Core?
I think it was Core. Didn't they both?
No, it was Emerald Warriors. That's
okay,
what it was.
Tony Daniel did Core, right? Or did Tony Daniel
work on it? Daniel did Batman, no.
Did Tony Daniel never work on Green Lantern? I thought he did.
No, you're thinking of Tony Bedard.
I am thinking of Tony Bedard. He worked on Flash, though, Tony Daniel. Flash, fastest man alive.
Yeah. And Danny Bedard was actually the creator of the Flash TV show from CBS in 1990.
And Eric Bedard is a former Major League Baseball pitcher.
Eric
Gale is right here.
I'm sure that counts in some way.
Just keep this going, please.
You kids and your...
Can we get this back to placentas as soon as possible, please?
But Brian Hitch is, you know, also like
artist.
Yeah, big artist. But, like, you know, again, doing Justice League of America now, as you mentioned. Also did Ultimates back in the day for Marvel.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about the Brian Hitch thing just because I feel like the idea of an artist with no writing experience. Well, I guess he's written Justice League for a certain period of time now, but an artist with no writing experience being dragged onto a book was part of the problem of the New 52 in the first place. It essentially seemed like here and there, DC is pulling from a really limited pool. And while, yes, obviously Brandon makes the joke that only the good ones are on the Justice League books and you want to get those guys on there, totally agree, because that's what's going to try to sell. But there is a certain amount of kind of, you know, if it's a rebirth, why is the same guy on this book? Why is the same guy on that book? Why don't we bring in new guys? And it's almost like every single time DC hires a new writer for one of their books from outside of the company, they relaunch the whole line. Just stick that guy in a new book, you know. So I'm a little wary about the whole Brian Hitch thing. I mean,
well, I think part of that is contracts. I think some of these artists, they get in there and they're like, I want to do more than just draw.
Yeah.
And it's in their contract to write. So they give people like Tony Daniel Deathstroke, and they give Francis Manipaul the Flash, and then
David Finch's wife Wonder Woman. Yeah,
exactly. Stuff like that. You know, so it's definitely contracts.
One of the things I think is, like, while it might not always work out, it's not necessarily a bad idea, even though they're inexperienced, to give them a shot, because you never know if you might find someone who just, like, you know, has a real talent for a certain character.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, but, like, but Justice League is sort of a flagship title. Like, it makes sense with a lower book. Like, I know for a long time at Marvel, that was, like, they'd give whoever random people Cable Deadpool, because it's like, yeah, no one's going to read this anyway, so here, have this book. If you're any good, then maybe we'll put you on a better book.
Might as well at that point bring back Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen. Just let that be the test book.
I mean, I wouldn't mind that. That's actually a good idea.
What a fantastic idea! Let's just do that. Let's just do some fantasy baseball. What the rebirth should look like.
That's literally where '70s Jack Kirby started at DC. I'll take Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen. I think no one's working on that.
Yeah. Tony Daniel, which is kind of funny because as the artist of the Justice League, it's kind of ironic because I think when he was brought in as a writer. There was some pretty halfway decent Batman stuff going
on. Wrong. So wrong. That was awful stuff.
Am I remembering it wrong?
Battle for the Cow was terrible.
No, you're right.
And he did Detective Comics to start off the New 52, and that was horrible.
I remember the first few issues were okay, and he came up with Dollmaker, which for artist. Some reason.
I think they said Scott Snyder had the outline for that first issue. I know he wrote the original ending where the Joker's face was ripped off or whatever.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. So
who am I thinking of? That's the
Tony Daniel.
It must be some. It wasn't David Finch because I know David Finch did that Dark Knight run like 6-7 years ago at this point that everybody made fun of.
I
don't remember.
I think there's some precedent to artists turned writers doing well, at least at DC. Sure. Now that I said it, now I can't think of anybody.
Oh, like Frank Miller and things like that, John Byrne and things like that.
More recently.
Speaking of Frank Miller, how about that return of All-Star Batman?
You mean the Scott Snyder series or the terrible Dark Knight?
No. The good one. I'm just referencing the fact that he worked on the title when it was terrible.
Wait, you mean the short-lived five-issue All-Star Batman and Robin?
No. That was a lot longer than that, but I'm talking about the new one that's starting.
Yeah, the Scott Snyder Robin one.
The Scott Snyder book.
Yeah, that's a hell... See, that, like, it doesn't make sense to have all those high-profile artist on a Batman book by Scott Snyder. You already know Scott Snyder's going to sell. Why not put Jock and Sean Gordon Murphy and on all these A-list talent on another book? It just doesn't make sense.
So you're saying Batman should have good art.
My thing about Jock, though, is I feel like Jock has gotten a lot of profile in the industry, but I don't necessarily think Jock is, in my opinion, all that talented, and I think he only ever really gets over as an artist because he's paired with these great writers, and I think it's almost like they have to pair Jock with the great writer in order to kind of like keep the idea that he's a prestige artist around. So I was going to say give Scott Snyder somebody like Jock, who everybody can pretend is this great artist when he's just kind of okay, and make it like that he's this great guy or whatever. I mean, no offense to Jock or whatever, but you know.
Well, I think that's a huge offense to Jock.
No offense to, like, it's like, no offense to Jock, but he sucks. Mediocre. Is what you basically just said.
No, but I mean, like, the argumentatively speaking, I think Jock is not necessary. I mean, the guy does, you know, a lot of, like, the drawings are okay, the images are okay, but coherence in terms of drawing an actual comic book, I mean, the guy is great for, like, you know, which they use his art as concept art for tons and tons of projects and stuff like that, and that's fine, but actually telling a comic story, it's like, you know, like, you really need a good writer because, you know, a lot of his Black Mirror, everybody's like, oh, Black Mirror is one of the best Batman stories of the past 20 years, but I'm like, no, it wasn't, and, like, you know, people just really liked Scott Snyder at the time. And, like, you're really kind of overblowing the Jock art because that was kind of the most generic story, and it was almost overwritten to kind of decipher what was happening in the images. But maybe that's me. Whatever. John Romita is the one I'm talking about.
Okay, pause. So, again, going back to the topic, because we're, like, going into way out there. And, like,
sure.
Or, like, all stuff. Like, we have two Green Lanterns in the Justice League book bringing up. So we finally get Simon Bass, and we finally get...
Jessica Cruz.
There you go, Jessica Cruz. Again, I haven't been reading that much Justice League right now, so I completely forgot the character's name. But
I'm pretty sure
Cruz.
She didn't exist last time I read a comic.
Right? Like it's like Simon Bass showed up and was like, oh, he's the hot new Green Lantern character, and then he went away, and then Jessica Cruz got introduced and was like, oh, she's going to be the next hot new Green Lantern.
But
and then
she,
for like
she was,
3 years,
she was powering
was gone.
For a while, and then
She's currently still powering.
Yeah, she's
in
still,
Justice League
right.
Run. But she's being translated into the Green Lantern of the new Earth sector. Because again, we as far as I know, the Earth sector has not had a Green Lantern for a while. Hal Jordan has been in space for this entire time, and every other member of the Green Lantern Corps has been
stuck. Where's Simon Baz been? Like, what happened to him?
Simon Baz has been stuck in the other side of the universe, also, with the rest of the Corps.
Why? What happened?
There's only one Green Lantern currently running in the universe at the moment, and that's Hal Jordan.
Right, with that. Well, he had that gauntlet for a while.
Hal Jordan is the sole Green Lantern in the universe. That sounds dangerous.
And Kyle Rayner is somewhere else being an Omega Man, apparently.
Right, he's not dead either. Yeah.
But yeah, these two Green Lanterns are getting their own title, Green Lantern. They're getting Green Lantern proper, which is being written by who?
Wasn't there something about Hal Jordan being worshipped as a god or something? I vaguely remember hearing about.
The book is changing it to Green Lanterns.
Yep. And that series is written by Sam Humphries and drawn by Robson Rocha. And another Green Lantern former artist, Ardian Saif, who did Green Lantern Corps, or Green... No, it was Green Lantern, I think.
He did Corps because it was the Alpha Lantern story. Yeah, and he also did the great Green Lantern storyline that involved Green Lantern Porter.
Yes, awesome.
Didn't do the weapon
greatest
stuff
Green Lantern of all time. No, he did not do weapon stuff. That was Tyler Kirkman.
That was Kirkman, right.
So again, we're getting Green Lanterns now with the two. With, apparently, he's been dubbed as the Lethal Weapon book by Sam Humphries.
Cute,
like two partners trying to get together and understand what the hell they're doing with, like, you know.
I'm getting too old for this shit.
They're both too young for this shit.
Yeah, right. Sam Humphries' work.
Sam Humphries used to do a lot of independent stuff.
I'm on his Wikipedia page right now, and I don't recognize it. He apparently did Ultimate Comics Ultimates for a while after Jonathan Hickman left.
He
worked on Avengers at a point. He did a lot of Marvel stuff, but like nothing like huge. I think he did the Planet Hulk stuff in Secret Wars.
I think it was currently doing Star-Lord.
He's
doing Star-Lord. Currently.
Oh, that's where he did the Uncanny X-Force. That's right. I do remember that. That's funny. A Marvel guy coming over. Well, you know, it's an untested writer. I think Green Lantern needs some new writers in there. I think that's...
untested writer in the DC market.
Speaking of artists turned writers, I would love to see someone like that on Green Lantern, because I think like that's the kind of book where, you know, like the art really sort of should feed into the writing.
So
instead of like a writer deciding like, can the artist do this? Let me ask him. If it's the artist himself like pushing his own limits, I think that would be really interesting.
Here's something to bring up now, seeing that Green Lanterns itself is being led by two prospering Green Lanterns, two brand new Green Lanterns that really haven't been tested by themselves since since their inception. But
For the first six issues, and then it's going to be Hal Jordan.
It's also bringing back an old yet new yet old like villain, which is a Red Lanterns. The Red Lanterns are coming back in this book.
An old villain? Yeah.
The old villain, those Red Lanterns.
Also, Simon Baz is on the cover. Oh, not Simon Baz, sorry. Larfleece. How did I get those two characters?
Yeah, they got Larfleece.
They're the exact same.
Simon Baz, of course, is on the cover.
It is something that we've seen before. You know, we've seen the Red Lanterns been thrown into books, and we've seen like how limited they can be. Like, is anybody really excited about saying like, you know, the Red Lanterns back as an antagonist?
You're not super excited. I think they had enough of a running to get kind of make them. I mean, they had their own title for a while and all that stuff. So, I mean, I understand the idea of using them as a, and they're kind of a recognizable antagonist. But one of the things you were saying about the idea of an artist kind of being the one who writes Green Lantern, I appreciate that. I always kind of feel like Green Lantern, it's almost like you can get a good artist on there. You can kind of do whatever. And I feel like Green Lantern, the writing is always the part that's been super problematic, you know?
Yeah. All the writer needs to say is you fight for five pages, figure it out, artist.
I mean, like, and I think we ran into this issue with the Geoff Johns stuff, where there was a lot of kind of admiration for Geoff Johns when he first joined the Green Lantern books, but then the writing became so simplistic and so miniature, you know? It was the same three characters having different, like, super power-ups. It was like reading an anglicized version of, like, Dragon Ball, you know, where it was, like, multiple characters would be like, I'm going to spend 20 issues talking about how I'm going to get the ultimate light source and then turn to Super Saiyan God Blue. Hal Jordan, you know, and then that happened over and over and over. So the idea of the simplistic kind of, I mean, I would prefer just some more kind of layered, complex writing. And like, if it's a Lethal Weapon type thing, you know, maybe just some goddamn Green Lanterns being space cops for 5 goddamn minutes for one time for the past 30 years, you know?
Well, that's kind of insulting, because at least Dragon Ball was entertaining.
Well, I wouldn't say that Jeff Johns stuff wasn't entertaining.
Jeff Johns was entertaining for a while.
It was at first, but...
Yeah, and I wouldn't necessarily say Dragon Ball was entertaining for the majority of its run, but I mean, that's kind of a here and there sort of thing.
I'm sorry, but Green Lantern and Jeff Johns, it was fine at first, but what was that, like 9 years?
There was a point where Dragon Ball got to drag after 20 years.
I was like, please get someone else in the book.
Dragon Ball might be the best example because it dragged out for like 20 years.
Dragon Ball ran for a decade, and like that started to get after a while. Like the Buu saga got really long. Anyway,
all the characters in Dragon Ball are like vaguely racist stereotypes, and sort of so are all the Lantern Corps and stuff, because Larfleeze is really selfish, but he's like totally an awful Jewish stereotype. But I'm not going to get into that. But I kind of think that getting a writer like Sam Humphries is on there because you're getting somebody who's like known for writing, and Sam Humphries, you know, he's one of those guys that they would stick him on books like The Ultimates and X-Force and stuff when it was books that were prestigiously known for their writing, and they plunked him on there to be like, yeah, you seem like a smart enough guy, like, like, and I like the pitch, but like I said, the idea of being like, oh, Larfleeze and the Red Lantern is like, you've already lost me a tiny bit, you know, like, which, but I guess if you're a Green Lantern fanboy, it's probably nice to see these guys back, though. Honestly, having not read Green Lantern in a year, I can't imagine they went away. Like, I imagine there was probably tons of Larfleeze and Atrocitus books in the interim, right?
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
So what you're saying is we need Parallax back.
No, Larfleeze had an ongoing
well,
that disappeared.
Actually, Parallax came back.
I heard about that vaguely.
Yeah, I won't get as deep into that until we get to like reviews for like certain books. But mentioning Hal Jordan might be taking over the book again. Well, Hal Jordan has his own title. Right. Coming out too. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah. That's being done by who? He's got his name on that book.
Yeah, he has his own name on that one.
It's written by the same guy writing Green Lantern right now. That's Robert Venditti, who we'll be talking to soon. And it's drawn by Ethan Van Sciver, who's alternating with Rafa Sandoval, whose art you can check out in Green Lantern 51 that came out this month.
Right. So it's a Sandoval. So Sandoval's gonna be drawing, and Ethan Van Sciver will show up once in a while.
Yeah right. Ethan Van Sciver will do an issue here and there,
like specials.
It's sad. But Ethan's art's fairly good, but man, he cannot keep a schedule.
Ethan Van Sciver,
yeah,
the worst.
That's why his art's so good.
Ethan Van Sciver, the worst Twitter follow. Sorry.
I think Vendetti's cool. I think he did some good stuff with the Green Lantern books. He's been in charge of Hal since the whole, you know, grunge look when they did the last rebirth, right? So that was a pretty half. I mean, you know, it was really DC really did, I will be honest, lose my interest at some point in the last 2 years. So it was hard to kind of follow the book, you know. But I mean, when I did pick it up, I was in it, but the fatigue had set in at that point. You know, the fact that they had to give him a trench coat, long hair, and a cool glove.
You mean the Jack T. Chance look? Yeah.
The fact that he became the 90s look, I was like, okay, I think we're scraping here a little bit.
Well, they had to put the 90s look somewhere when they ruined Lobo.
Well, apparently in this book, we're getting John Stewart, Guy Gardner, and Kyle Rayner back in the fold in the Green Lantern.
Are they in the core?
Yeah, they're back. They're back in the Green Lantern name title.
So it's the four.
So we now have six human Green Lanterns.
Yes,
why not?
We have six human Green Lanterns.
So. To be fair, nowhere else in the universe gets attacked as much as Earth.
I don't really mind it, because I think it's kind of fun, because each of the characters have their own long run as the character and a very distinct kind of like persona as the character, you know, and that's why I want to.
And then also
just
because
like,
Simon Boss.
Right. and then those guys at least have hooks, like they have gimmicks.
Yeah,
you know, like
they at least
Simon
have a
Boss.
Gimmick of Jessica Cruz is a Hispanic woman, and Simon Boz is
a gun.
Definitely not a terrorist, guys.
No, I mean, at least Simon Boz is an... I feel like Jessica Cruz is kind of whatever, a blank slate character, but the whole premise of her, right, is that she has the evil version of the Green Lantern ring, so there's a hook there. You know,
well,
Green Lantern,
that's gonna be gone,
so now she doesn't have a hook anymore.
What am I even reading this for?
Yeah, now she's just gonna be a woman, and I guess she has a face tattoo as her mask.
You know,
Does she at least hate Middle Eastern guys, so there's going to be some kind of friction between them, like there was in Lethal Weapon? Like,
maybe,
Lethal Weapon was about casual racism.
Maybe she dated a Middle Eastern guy, and now she hates Middle Eastern guys.
I think the book should have been called The Green Lantern Corps of America at this point, because, you know, it's just like a group of Green Lanterns all from Earth.
Yeah, it's
probably
true,
all from America at this point.
All the Earth ones are from America.
Here's the question. How soon does Brian Hitch forget that Jessica Cruz is Hispanic?
I'm betting by the second issue.
She'll be Irish before long.
I'm betting before the first issue.
I'm looking at this cover before? For the first issue, and she looks white.
Do you think Alan Scott will join him at some point?
Alan Scott? Well, he doesn't exist in that universe. So.
Well, you can always portal over the Green Lantern to two Earths.
Well, I will say something about the idea of they're bringing back somebody like Kyle Rayner, John Stewart, and stuff like that. I feel like, especially Kyle Rayner, was always my favorite, and I like that when they had that Jeff Johns split up, you know, they had a couple of titles, and they stuck everybody who could fit onto the core title, you know, and then they had that fun thing where they had,
yeah,
and they had several leads, you know, and it was kind of fun because they made a point to be like, oh, Kyle Rayner is the traditional heroic character, and, you know, as somebody who read the character in the 90s who likes him but doesn't have an actual excuse for liking him, like, there wasn't aspects to his character I really liked, I just had an affinity for him, so I liked him, you know, but he was kind of like this vanilla sandwich kind of character. Sticking with somebody like Guy Gardner, you know, oh, you have an excuse. Gardner is like a total prick, like Nazi. So it's like totally okay to stick him with the straight shooter guy because then he's got a personality. And then, oh, then John Stewart shows up and they overplayed his military thing because of the Justice League cartoon. So like you had like a clash of personalities and stuff like that. But like when they say things like, oh, Kyle Rayner's coming back, I'm so burned out by DC like burning me out, you know, from these characters. And especially Kyle Rayner, like every time he shows up, you're like, oh, that's great. He's really working out in this title. And then some dumb shit will happen to him, like, you know, like, you know, he'll get, like, janked or, like, fake murdered or turned into Space Jesus and, you know, or be in charge of the new Guardians and just get his ass kicked by everybody for, like, 2 years until they just mercifully put the title out of its misery and stuff like that, you know? It's like...
Is he still a White Lantern or is that back to green?
He's still the White Lantern.
He's still white, but then Reaper's going to come around, wipe everything, he'll be back to green.
But we'll feel see. Like it's like I honestly do want to see what happens to Kyle Rayner by the end of the Omega Man run. I do like his costume that he currently has now, and his character has been, like back and forth in that book. So also, he's a lot more religious than I remember.
I don't like it when they give Kyle the unique powers and let him do stuff with it. Like back when he had his brief on his Ion, I thought, you know, there was some pretty cool stuff you could do with that.
Yeah, like I said, Kyle Rayner has had the thing with Kyle Rayner is I say to have an affinity for him, and to be fair, he has appeared in at least two out of like the three top Green Lantern stories ever for me. You know, like I think the core stuff that Tomasi and Patrick Leeson were doing was some of the best Green Lantern stuff done, like, ever in terms of art and artists and stuff. And I think a lot of the Ion stuff that they got, Kyle Rayner was one of my favorite mainstream superheroes of God stories ever. You know, and then there's some other Green Lantern stories I chuck in there. But, you know, he is a part of good stories, but in terms of, like, I just feel like it's going to be like a Laurel Lance on Arrow type situation. Like, oh, it's a Black Canary, we swear, don't worry, no, fuck you. Fuck you for even watching. Like, you know, I feel like it's one of those kind of like, they're going to pull me in to be like, it's what you like. No, you're stupid for liking it. Like, okay, so Kyle Rayner is going to turn into like some homicidal maniac or just like a toilet boy or something, you know.
They're all like, it's what you like, and then they force cyanide down your throat.
Yeah, that's what they did when they put him in when Tomasi, when he left the Tomasi titles and he joined all the Bedard titles, and Bedard wrote Kyle Rayner as like the whipping boy for the rest of the DC universe for like 6 years. And, you know, I think we have a relationship with Bedard. We talked to him and I think I even cried to him about it a little bit, but, you know, there was a certain amount of like, what, you know, like, I don't want to see my favorite just to see him, like, you know, like if he's getting swirlies, I don't want to see my favorite get swirlies, bro.
I'm wondering how much of that was editorial mandate.
You got to put some swirlies in there, dude. Like, yeah, maybe.
Oh, come on! You can just see Jeff Johns showing up in the background. Come on, you got to give him some swirlies, man.
He was pretty cool in the Tomasi run. I think Tomasi busted his ass to make him cool, and that was always my favorite Kyle look—the whole square block look with the bring back the crab mask and stuff. Have they revealed what his new look is for the?
Well, no, not yet. They haven't revealed any what his costume will be. They haven't revealed how any of the characters will look afterwards, except for like Hal Jordan. He is getting back his classic Green Lantern look. He will be getting rid of the trench coats and all that stuff. And the gauntlet as well. Seeing that everything's already being like rammed up. Batman's being back to being Batman. Superman's back to being Superman.
Is he gonna have the Jim Lee costume? And by that I mean the same costume he always had, but with like lines on his shoulders.
I believe so.
That Batman redesign that Greg Capullo did was kind of a fart, huh?
When did Superman have a son? I think I missed something.
Oh, Christopher Kent? Yeah, you definitely missed something.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what?
Jackie.
Yeah, there's a whole Superman had a son thing, and now he's going to team up with Damian Wayne for a book.
Oh, yeah, that's during the Lois and Clark Superman book.
How does that work continuity-wise?
Continuity-wise, that Superman is a pre-52 Superman, the one that existed before the universe became the new 52.
But how does he team up with Robin?
Because that Superman now exists in the new 52 universe under the guise of
Clark. Under the guise of what?
Because he does.
You're killing off the new 52 Superman, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Eric, I need you to like mute yourself because there's a lot of background noise.
Babies.
Yeah, babies too.
What was that about new 50 pre new? What's he do?
Like I said, the pre-52 Superman is now in the new 52 universe along with Lois Lane. They're living in
secret.
We're
not going to explain convergence on this podcast.
Yeah, we're not going to explain all convergence, but I will explain that he does exist in the new universe, and he will be part of the rebirth launch as Superman now.
Like, so what happened to the new 52 Superman?
Dying. We're done
here. He's there
well,
too.
How about Eddie?
For the Green Lanterns themselves, Hal Jordan, debonair test pilot, once was given a ring by a dying alien named Avin Sor. And became Earth's first noticeable Green Lantern. After that,
and I've been sore from hearing this origin story so many times. You know, guys, say guys, high five all around. There you go.
After him came John Stewart, the second Green Lantern. If you do not know who John Stewart is, there is a cartoon called Justice League that you can watch on Netflix. I will not get into more into that character. But you can watch his character in Justice League. It's pretty much go there. He's also an architect. He's also into architecture, so you can know that too.
He's one or the other, or maybe both.
There is Guy Gardner, who is the renegade Green Lantern.
The warrior.
Frat boy.
The warrior. He's a troublemaker. He's a troublemaker of the war band.
He's basically troublemaker. The troublemaker cliche. So sometimes he's a frat boy. Sometimes he's like a gearhead. Sometimes he's an ex-cop. Sometimes he's a Nazi. Sometimes he's actually evil. Sometimes he's a football player. Like any kind of cliche of like that guy's wild.
Is that Joey Fatone?
But he's consistently a douche.
Joey Fatone. And then there's Kyle Rayner, the Green Lantern that carried the torch of the Green Lantern when there were no more Green Lanterns for a while.
He's an artist.
He is also
the sum total of his personality. No,
he's also a commercial artist. He lived in New York, had multiple girlfriends.
He's also, I guess, half Hispanic.
Yes, he's also apparently now half Hispanic. At one point was made Mexican.
Yeah,
was made half Mexican at one point, and is also now really into Jesus, which is also something weird. He's very into Jesus now, thanks to Omega Man.
Whatever makes you forget about the whole Bueno Excelente thing.
I know he became Space Jesus.
He became Space Jesus because apparently he's like into Space Jesus now. It's so weird.
So Space Jesus met Jesus?
Not yet. Well, actually, seeing that he didn't meet the White Lantern entity, I guess he did.
There's also Simon Baz.
There's also Simon Baz, who was the publicity stunt by Geoff Johns.
He's from the Fast and the Furious, right?
Yes, he's from the Fast and Furious, and then he has a gun, which he never reloads or buys bullets for, but still has bullets for.
The Green Lantern bullets.
Why does he need a gun? He's a Green Lantern.
Because, the same reason why he needs a ski mask.
Because it's cool.
You literally can kill all these things.
He has a gun because, it looks cool, and two, because the premise is that if the ring ever runs out, he doesn't have to rely on... his wits, or to build a diamond cannon out of nearby sulfur and bamboo.
And then just get a sword or something.
And then there's Jessica Cruz, who was tapped to be the power ring from an Earth 3 dimension.
Where it was an evil Green Lantern ring.
Evil Green Lantern ring, which was just the power ring. Picked her out of a lineup when their Hal Jordan died, and she became the new power ring, which, well, again, being expected by Voltoom, the spirit of the ring, is slowly creeping into her head, telling her to do evil things in her fear. Well, but she's keeping it at bay because I guess Barry Allen once told her, "Hey, man, Hal Jordan's cool," and then she was like, "Yeah, that's right." And then there it is.
You went up to her like, "My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive."
Hal Jordan is a cool guy, and I think you should follow his example. And then
he's never been the fastest man alive. He's never been the fastest man alive.
With my friends at Star Labs,
I used to study on an island.
I had to become something else.
Someone else.
In the year 2152, or whatever.
So I had to become the impossible, and I don't say that too often. But once in a while in the first season, I did.
My favorite in Supergirl was, "I thought I was the impossible." Wait, what?
Like, you haven't said that in like 2 years, bro. Come on.
So there you have it as a recap of these six Green Lanterns that exist in the universe.
Oh, and his cousin had already grown up to become Superman.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's from Supergirl.
Yes. Okay. So again, these are the six Green Lanterns that now exist in the Earth, in the Earth universe. Earth Zero, still being called Earth Zero. That's the New 52 universe. Because again, there's a multiverse, and that one is Earth Zero. Earth Two does include Adam Scott, the Green Lantern of that universe, who more than likely will not exist after Rebirth. Seeing the Rebirth, see that Earth Two is not a title that's been that's being relaunched apparently, or is not stated to be relaunched.
It's still staying around.
Is it?
Yes.
It didn't. Did no one that said that they were getting another issue?
Did nobody tell Frankie? No. I guess it depends on if any kind of aspect of Justice Society is introduced in Legends Season 2 in the CW, and then you'll see those bastards come back quicker than you can count.
Well, I would love if Earth 2
actually apparently the guy from Suits is Alan Scott, question mark?
Well, I don't know if I'd believe that, because I think that's a little too tied in, but I don't know.
I believe it mainly because they come out April 1st, and that was like, that news came out on April 1st?
I just happen to believe the character is probably going to be the worst possible decision, because that's what those shows do. They make the worst possible decision they can do creatively. I'm still angry about the thing I discussed earlier, so.
No.
It's fine.
So, I hope that answers your question, Colton.
Well, Multiversity 2, we're going to get more than one multiverse.
The multiverse?
There are multiple
DC multiverses.
Multiverse?
The new multiverse? The new.
The DC new multiverse? No,
there's the old multiverse, but there's also the new multiverse.
Okay. So...
That's dumb. Just so you know, if it's a multiverse, it's just a multiverse. If there's more than one multiverse, it just means
there are multiple multiverses in the Omniverse.
Right, and that's just called the Mother Multiverse. It's just some DC terminology trying to get you to buy some comics, bro. Which is, I guess, all we're doing this podcast for, but that's fine. Enjoy your free advertising, you DC bastard. Hashtag no Laurel nor.
It's Grant Morrison. It'll turn out fine.
Will it?
I believe in Grant Morrison.
I believe in, you know, Grant Morrison. I was about to say, I believe in Harvey Dent, but no.
Yeah, he's not writing any titles in the new run, is he?
No.
Like I said, he's busy working on Multiversity 2. That's T-O-O, not the number 2.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So cool.
Damn straight.
All right, so Brandon, you still there? Or did Brandon come back yet?
He can't be back. We've been talking about Grant Morrison. He hasn't said anything.
He came back and then left. Are there any more books?
I believe those are the only titles like right now that we have. There's Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern Corps. There's Green Lanterns, and then there's Justice League. Wait, no.
Action Comics is on our article, and Green Lantern's on the cover. I don't know why.
Wait, which one?
Action.
Oh, Action Comics. Well, he's just in the background, and it just no wait. Is Action Comics becoming a different title now? It's like it's going to become a feature where multiple different characters are now going to be in the book itself instead of just Superman.
Well, that's how Action Comics started.
Exactly. So I believe that's how Action Comics is going to be now. It's going to be just going to be an ensemble book,
just like Detective Comics used to be.
Yes. So
I thought they were just reverting the numbering back, but keeping it Superman.
Well, there'll always be Superman Action Comics, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just on our article on thegreenlanterncore.com, and I'm not sure why. But I guess we can talk about the creative team on DC Universe Rebirth itself, which is written by Jeff Johns and drawn by Ethan Van Sciver, Phil Jimenez, Ivan Reis, and Gary Frank.
Wait,
you know the top tier.
There's a Rebirth written by Jeff Johns and drawn by Ethan Van Sciver. I feel like we've been here before.
Yeah, no, that's the point. That's
exactly the point.
That's the point. Cool.
It'll open up with Hal Jordan in a casket or something.
I'm sorry. He just went.
I had to do a
take. So we are getting a book written by Jeff Johns once again, and it is titled Rebirth, and we are getting Ethan Van Sciver drawing at least a partial of the book.
At least, but we're also getting Phil Jimenez,
who I really love. And Ivan Reis and Gary Frank. You know, Gary Frank's weird doll faces when everyone smiles.
Oh, come on.
Gary Frank is...
he creates Christopher Reeve's art. It's great.
Dude, Gary Frank's art is fantastic and terrifying, as Frankie has implied. Like, yeah.
It is fantastic and terrifying. Have you ever seen anyone smile in that book? It is like, oh my god, what happened to your soul?
Yeah. My brother has this like hamburger head. My sister has the same thing, and it's like everybody in his comic has a hamburger. It's just like basically like for me, it's like a legion of my brother and sister, and I don't dislike them. It's just it doesn't always feel good to see them horrifyingly staring back at you while dressed like Metallo.
Does anyone have any predictions as to what is the hand that they're reaching for is? Like,
God.
If I had to guess, yeah, some brand new omniversal character.
Actually, so, in Multiversity, at the end, there was actually a evil opposite hand that, from the creation of the universe.
It's Master Hand from Smash Brothers.
Either that, yeah, the Gentry had a thing where they were like a band.
Either
hand.
That or it's Apa Aliapsa.
Well, I think it's Bader from
Master Bader.
I know he was a real. I think he was a real master, the Bader guy. I think it's like a probably like if it's not like the hand of creation, some generic thing, it'll end up being something sinister because Geoff Johns always does that, you know. So, can I just say something weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
As Geoff Johns is archenemy on the planet Earth. I read this. They're talking about this article today. You know, there was this rumors going around that Ben Affleck was writing a solo script for Batman. I'm getting somewhere. Don't worry. And he was working on it with Geoff Johns. And I'm like, that's such a silly rumor. You know, of course. And then I guess Kevin Smith relatively confirmed it because he's friends with both of the gentlemen. And he was like, oh yeah, I talked to Geoff Johns, and he said he really was writing something, Ben Affleck. So, you know, who knows if it's going to be a movie, but they're working on something. And my immediate response, because I have read a lot of Geoff Johns comics, was the vomiting noise you heard earlier. And then I like got frightened and was like, that's so sad. And then it stopped, and I realized, like, am I an adult? Or have I just been so burned out by Arrow? But I was like, oh, wait a second. Batman Earth 1, Volume 1 and 2, they weren't really that bad. And then I realized, like, do I like Geoff Johns now? Or am I willing to give him another chance? And so I think I'm just, now that I have two kids, I think I'm just too old to read comics. I think that's all that means. I no longer have a litmus for what's quality and what's not. So, you know, that's just my preface of saying, don't trust my opinion, but I'm relatively excited for Geoff Johns being on in the title. That's all I'm saying. Plus, he said something very nice where he said that there had never been a classic Green Arrow story where he didn't have a goatee, which basically shames the entirety of Arrow, which is hurtful, I guess, but, you know, not uncalled for.
Yeah, right? Like, that's Arrow deserves to be shamed.
At this point, it's half garbage, half amazing, and that just makes it amazing. Or a marbage? I'm not sure. I don't do that.
I'm pretty
kind of
sure
thing.
It's been all garbage for the last two seasons.
Two seasons, yeah. So that's half garbage, half amazing.
Oh, right. Got it. I thought you meant, like, currently half garbage, half amazing.
No. It's just garbage.
No, it's just garbage now.
How did it fall apart?
No, we're not getting into that now.
Nope, that's a different podcast.
Shut up.
Yeah.
We're not getting into that right now. We've already gotten into way too much other stuff to get into that right now.
One word. Holicity. All right, let's keep going.
Get out of my face. I think I just killed something. Okay, I just went red.
So, you just ate a placenta.
We were discussing the fact that Rebirth is being written by Geoff Johns and being drawn by Ethan Mascot, Phil Jimenez, Ivan Reyes, and Gary Frank. What are your thoughts on it?
I think there'll be a giant cliffhanger.
Surprise!
Cliffhanger.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I bet you there will be a giant cliffhanger at the end. But do you have any speculation, as I asked them, what do you think the hand is that they're all reaching for?
Krona, probably.
Wait, what?
I feel like Krona again.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like there's any... Is there any deity left that they haven't covered in the last three years?
Didn't they invent, like, six new ones for Convergence just so they could have those?
What if it's actually Geoff Johns' hand?
Brandon. Remember the end of Multiversity, the empty hand.
No, I don't remember that.
Well, it is like Geoff Johns to kind of like mine kind of obscure works.
Also, that's not Geoff Johns' story to tell, is it?
Well, Geoff Johns would do it anyway.
Yeah, like he did The Blackest Night.
I'm sorry.
He has a history for kind of mining weird stories.
You mean Chief Creative Officer of DC Comics, DC Entertainment? I think Geoff Johns can tell whatever story he wants to at this point.
I think his official title actually is Yoink. So I think that's.
I just noticed Starfire's half naked on that cover, but I don't think that's her new costume.
That's her new costume. Clothes
again? Pretty sure that's her. Pretty sure
they did change it right now. She's slightly more bandages on her body. Yeah.
Yes. Now I did want to ask you because again progress. we're not under we have no idea what the Action Comics book will be about. Is the Action Comics book going to be like an ensemble? Is it going to be about different characters, not just Superman?
Or it's just
still Superman title.
Then okay. Why is it on our page?
I think we're just going to get a cameo from Green Lantern. That's all.
Okay.
It's okay. I mean, there are people out there that buy books just because Green Lantern is in it.
Okay. So, in them, yeah.
All right, man. All right.
Cheers to them.
Yeah.
Dave,
in all fairness, if I'm going to listen to a Green Lantern podcast, I would presume they would be doing the same thing. But yeah, okay.
Dave Hrabowski, I'm talking to you. And if you're Dave Hrabowski and you're listening to this, tweet us at the GL Corps.
Yeah.
Now, I guess that's it. That's all the books that are Green Lantern related that we discussed. I mean, there's other books that are coming out for the Rebirth line, such as...
like Teen Titans.
Teen Titans.
Green Arrow sounds fantastic. Come on, Green Arrow sounds great.
Is that a stated Rebirth launch title? Green Arrow?
Yeah, Green Arrow Rebirth.
Yeah.
And then the Batgirl, Birds of Prey. That's going to be great.
How about Ted Kord and Jaime Reyes being in a team book?
That's true. Ted Kord coming back.
I've never.
You guys. Can I just say? I don't know if Brandon's agreeing with me, but like, after years and years of talking to you gentlemen, I have never given a shit about Ted Kord, and I think I hate him now. Because I don't think anybody should give a shit about Ted Kord. You know, that's like we're like, oh man, Ted Kord and Blue Beetle, Blue Beetle and Booster Gold, classic team. I'm like, don't you? Just not a fuck you, classic team. Fucking Booster Gold, Blue Beetle. Just let's not make. I'm glad for you guys. Ted Kord is doing something.
I'd rather have a Booster Gold book, personally.
You've never read a Booster Gold book?
I'd rather have one.
Oh, you'd rather have
Which applies to me, he's read quite a few of them, yeah.
I read that Booster Gold run that they did when he had the whole time traveling thing, that was fun.
Okay, so,
the Jeff Johns run.
It was actually
really good.
Greatest Hero of the
Can
World.
Can we break the fourth wall for a second? Did somebody just post a Blue Beetle podcast in the chat or something?
That was putting linking a different podcast to our podcast.
It's a review. It's a friend of one of our shows. So
why would you even stop for that? You could have just posted it in the comment in the chat.
It's just so jarring. I mean,
I literally posted in the chat, so I wouldn't interrupt it.
It's ruined his whole night, you asshole. He just stopped recording and he deleted the file. It's such a fucking umbrage. Man, I'm offended for him. That's how offended he is. It doesn't even bother me, and I just got offended from the waft of his offense. Can I apologize for Colton?
Okay, so that's about it. Brandon, what do you want to say?
Kyle Rayner.
What about Kyle Rayner?
That's it, just Kyle Rayner.
Nice.
Just wants to put that out in the universe.
Put that out there. Put it in the ether. Let everyone know.
Well, I want to say that as someone who has who was able to kind of fall off the wagon from DC because you know there was a lot of fatigue was involved, and then there was just a certain amount of like the quality wasn't really there, and there were just every title was just juggling and filling until they could find a good writer. But then once like you got to 30, 40 titles on your line that are just waiting for a good writer, I wouldn't say a good writer because people were doing good work, you know. But clearly there was filler titles, you know, like Greg Pak's whole run on Action Comics Superman, it felt like the whole thing was a filler, and I'm just like, what are you filling time for? You're the only guy writing Superman right now. But so it was easy to fall off the wagon, and I fell into the kind of like,
Great reviews for that though.
Not for nothing. Greg Pak was his run of Superman was the only thing I was reading during this time period, but it was just very much felt like he was kind of wheel spinning, you know, like wasn't allowed to touch any of the greats and et cetera, you know. So as someone who kind of fell into the trap of like, well, DC and Marvel have 45 hours of television content a week. I don't really need to read comics right now, you know. And then who is so utterly betrayed by that, you know, like recently. Then it's exciting to me to be able to go back and for there to be a kind of bump for me to go back to. You know, I'm a little apprehensive considering so many of people are coming over from the original to this. You know, like, you know, I am excited about the Green Arrow reboot. For example, but like it's the same writer as before. He's not bad. It's just one of those like, how much of a rebirth can it really be if it's the same guy writing with the same character? You know, so there's a lot of that.
I mean, like Brian Hitchens, like Scott Lodell writing Red Hood since the New 52 started.
Yeah, Yeah. I just kind of forget Red Hood is there. Like, you know, I just...
Wait, is Scott Lobdell like... still on Red Hood? I don't believe he's still on Red Hood, is he?
He is.
Oh, my God.
How?
I completely forgot about that, but that book has changed.
That's, like, jarring, though, right? I mean, it's like... I can see if it was like Grant Morrison is about to write another Superman story. Everybody gets up and applauds. If Grant Rucka says, "I'm returning to Wonder Woman."
Oh yeah, that was great.
You know, but you can't keep Scott Liddell, who's like gotten zero positivity for that book, and for 52 issues, and then say, "Hey, how about 52 more?"
Hey, to be fair, he may have sold his soul to Satan for that book.
Well, the thing about Scott Liddell, right? Scott Liddell's one of those guys.
52's unbroken issues. Remember, you got 52. Like, you got a good 30 of, like, Red Hood and the Outlaws, and then it broke, and it just became Red Hood and Arsenal. So,
Well, yeah, if you're a fan of either of those characters, you better love Scott Liddell. Otherwise, you're not going to read those characters.
But to be fair, if you were a fan of those characters, you've read it for 52 issues now, and... You know, I mean, those characters have been redefined by Scott Liddell's writing. So, not that I think it's necessarily revolutionary writing. Again, no offense to Scott Liddell, but Scott Liddell is this guy who's been writing comic books pretty much nonstop for like 50 years. You know, so it's like he hasn't had any books that have hugely popped in terms of the pantheon of great books. You know, it's a guy like Mark Gruenwald. Everybody can love Mark Gruenwald, and Mark Gruenwald could write like three or four really great stories. But, you know, he writes comics for 40 years, you know, and the guy just writes. You know, and then Danny Fingeroth and half the guys that ever worked on Spider-Man, like, people never talk about these guys. They just work for, like, decades on comics, you know? So it's like, you got to kind of assume when, and that was one of the weird things about New 52. Like, you saw a bunch of those guys kind of showing up, like Fabian Nicieza and Scott LaBelle and stuff like that. You're like, where the hell have you been? And it's like, oh, I've been kind of trying to get Kickstarter books off the ground for, like, 4 years now. But now, thankfully, DC is hiring anybody who will write, and I have 20 years
so
of experience.
Sad.
So that's that, and it just, what's his name? The editor in chief that's not Mike Martz anymore.
Not Jesus Nelson.
Christ. I wish I remembered his name. I don't know.
Dan DiDio? Anyway,
no, right? Yeah. No, they're publishers, and then the editor in chief.
Bob Harris?
Okay. No, I don't.
We're gonna...
Bob, no, is it Bob Harris?
Bob Harris, the editor in chief of DC Comics.
Bob Harris.
Yeah.
Yes. Bob Harris. He came from Marvel, and. He brought along Scott, and he brought along Fabian and all these guys that were big in the 90s, and he's like, hey, come back.
Well, the funny thing about those guys is, again, they wrote comics in the 90s, and there's famous miniseries. There's famous, like, we were all kids where it's like, or some of us were kids, and some of us were like sperm and stuff, or almost sperm, or like just excited dads first meeting the monster the first time, and the rest of us were kids. Living in their excited dad's balls, I mean. But, like, they were the ones writing, like, X-Men Omega and Age of Apocalypse and, like, oh, the Executioner's Song and, like, I don't know why I'm only thinking of X-Men.
Any stories. Other X-Men book.
But, you know, they were the guys writing this, but it wasn't ever like, these stories are so great, bro. It's like, these are just complete editorial mandate stories that they just had famous popular artists on. Like, you know, like, can anybody tell me who was writing X-Men when Joe Madd was drawing it? You know, like, yes, I'm sure anybody could tell. That's a very broad question, Eric. Of course, anybody could tell you. But I mean, like, you know, like, most of us are just like, yeah, no, Joe Madd. It was just coming out of thin air. Like, the scripts were appearing to him, and he was just drawing whatever he felt like. You know, so it was these workman-like writers, which there's a certain amount of, like, good for you guys for finding work and stuff like that. But there's also a certain amount of, like, you're writing a book about 20-year-old nasty boys, and, like, it's 100 issues in, and, you know, nobody really cares, and isn't this the right time to kind of change it up? But also, hey, man, the guy's writing 50 issues. That's a comic everybody knows about.
No. He's definitely not written all 52, like Frankie said. But
right.
But he's written his fair share, and like you said, he's definitely put his stink on the character. So, I mean, I guess that's the same thing can be said with Robert Venditti and Green Lantern by this point.
True.
I mean, like, if you liked his Hal, yay. If you didn't, I guess you're a big Simon Bass fan.
Well, for the
Simon Bass for life.
By the same token, though, like, it's not really fair for DC to just fire everybody, right? Like, and do what they did last time, where they just kind of flunk everybody around and then have Sterling Gates write half the titles and then just have the other half of the titles written by Sterling Gates' aliases. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, it doesn't make any sense to do something like that. So, and, you know, Ben Percy's doing a fine job on Green Arrow, and no one's going to buy Green Arrow anyway. You might as well just say, you know what, just go, again, Green Arrow was another book that was a perfect example of spinning the wheel. It's like, you know, oh, we can't use Black Canary, and that's what everybody wants. So let's just have him be a werewolf and get a weird sister and, you know, like, let's invent brand new bad guys and stuff for 50 issues and, like, you know, it was super interesting to read the first 20 issues of Green Arrow when they came out, but, like, I defy you to try to go back and read the Marrow storylines and that weird story where Ali was having, like, trade disagreements with Chinese demons and stuff like that, you know, and stuff that was clearly spinning the wheels, and now finally Ben Percy's on there. It's like, okay, you're doing fine. You know, just use fucking Black Canary. That's whatever he wants in the first place, you know what I mean? So just basically, like, okay, just give him what he wants. If he's doing a good job, don't get him off of there. And the same thing with, like, the Red Hood and the whoever is with Red... The Red Hood and the douchebags, whatever, like, Red Hood and the sorority boys, you know, but, like, it doesn't make any sense to fire those guys. But also, again, if it's Rebirth, it's new blood, you know? I was... When they announced, oh, Green Arrow was getting Rebirth, changing the costume, Black Canary's coming in, Artist is coming in, it's gonna be great. And then they were like, I'm like, who's writing it? They're like, oh, the same guy that's written it the last 2 years. I'm like, or a year, whatever. And I'm like, oh, even though he wasn't bad, I was kind of like, oh, that kills a little bit of the kind of, like, excitement of it, you know? So, yeah, but then least, Dan Jurgens coming into Superman, like,
at least Black Canary will be alive.
Dan Jurgens as Superman?
I do.
Oh. At least Black Canary.
Where's his booster book, Dan?
We'll be alive.
Listen, I love Dan Jurgens. I love that he's coming back to Superman. So,
he wrote Superman when the New 52 started, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I know, but he left the book because, like, okay, I can't do anything.
It wasn't really Superman, though. Well, yeah, right.
Like, I thought that was a George Perez issue, right?
No, he wrote and drew it for a while. Dan Jurgens. He drew the Hellspont fight and stuff like that. Like, he wrote and drew it for a little while.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, it's another kind of those. Dan Jurgens is not the best example because Dan Jurgens has done some good stuff, and he's a weird writer artist guy that, like, no one ever kind of considers a writer artist guy, I guess, in the pantheon or whatever. So, you know, it must suck for someone like Dan Jurgens. I have been working for 45 years in comics, and I've written some classic stories, and I have some really top-selling titles, and I'm a great artist and consistent work, and I write all my own stuff, and, and, you know, and yet Neil Adams farts on a paper, and they think it's the best thing that was ever written, and, like, oh, and then they do friggin' $400 original art books of the one or two things David Mazzucchelli drew in the past 20 years, and, you know, they sell those.
Phenomenal.
And
I don't care.
Well, that's a bad example, but, like, John Romita or something like that, that's just basically the same generic basic wheelhouse as Dan Jurgens, and he's like, just because I didn't catch on. Ah, poor Dan Jurgens. So, as you can see, I'm a split mind of the whole thing, but...
we're wrapping up here, seeing that we already discussed everything that's coming down. Green Lanterns, Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern Corps.
All good things coming.
Is there anything else?
You want to talk about Green Lantern was the only one not in Batman versus Superman?
I think we're good. I think we're done.
We're done here.
Is this only Kingsley Shacklebolt?
We're done here.
That's it. We're
good. Oh my god. Okay. What a reference.
Okay, so everyone who's listening, hopefully you loved our rants. Hopefully you loved our thoughts. Hopefully you're stay tuned for the Rebirth that's coming soon down the pipeline. Again, with some of the old artists and some of the old writers coming back to the Green Lantern table. Again, most of them we've enjoyed in the past. Hopefully we'll enjoy some of the new stuff that's coming down. And we'll stay tuned to see what happens to all our favorites. And hopefully you come back for more. We will be coming back. We'll hopefully be doing this again more frequently than you've seen before. Hopefully you will take my word on that. And I believe the lies I told last time when we said we're going to come back. And we're going to spend 2 years.
I think we're listening.
Green Lantern Core Cast is coming back, and Pocket Synth Apparatus is coming back, and we're all going to do all these shows, and they're going to be weekly, and it's going to happen.
Listen, yeah. I like to think we're on a schedule, and the schedule is called quasi-annually. And so we've stuck to that so far.
All right, everybody.
Stay green.
Enjoy the rest of your night.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com. You can email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com, follow us on Twitter @TheGLCorps, or reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814. Check out Kirby Crackle, performers of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com, and the Roy Clark Method, performers of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at roycarkmethod.webs.com.
I have this magic ring. It is the color green. It can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me. It says, how? What have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. And don't make us wait for too long.
That's my review of Batman v Superman. How can anybody not like Holly Hunter drinking piss and contemplating the folly of drinking piss for several minutes in front of a mute Superman?
Anyway, sorry, this is never
to drink piss and die. Like any actor would be lucky. Like I'm Lex Luthor, and this is Jackass.